Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and we got a very nice Friday show for you. Second hour, Jimmy will be here for us, kind of a bonus Jimmy hour. I felt bad yesterday. I was 1 hour with Jimmy this week, so we'll remedy that second hour, and we'll have Jimmy. So if there are questions, maybe there's people who we left on the line yesterday who wanted to talk to Jimmy, second hour will be a perfect opportunity for that. And we try to do some things that are fun and thoughtful and interesting on Fridays, because we know there's people stuck in that Friday traffic and whatnot. And along those lines, we're going to talk with Paul Darrow about same-sex attraction this hour. And Paul, just a wonderful guest, and this a topic many, many people have questions on. If you have questions, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, dealing with same-sex attraction, maybe dealing with how to talk to others about this, someone in the family facing this, or maybe something more general about any issue having to do with same-sex attraction. 888-318-7884 is the number. Paul's a former atheist, gay activist, and international model. He's now a faith-filled international Catholic speaker. He's one of three people profiled in a film that we recommend all the time here. It's called Desire of the Everlasting Hills, which you can watch. Just go to everlastinghills.org. It's a film about navigating the waters of self-understanding, faith, and homosexuality. Paul embraces chastity and shares his unusual story in order to be a living example of God's grace. And it's more powerful than whatever the greatest human temptations might be. And also, Paul's just a great guest to have on. So 888-318-7884 is the number. Paul Darrow, thanks very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. And like I said, the last time that I was on your show, that it was only by the Holy Spirit that I was on it. I mean, that I feel that I was invited to be on your show. And at the very end of the last show, I said, and it would only be by the Holy Spirit that I would be invited back again to be on your show. So... Well, so the Holy Spirit's two for two.
Well, but the Holy Spirit encouraged us because we had such a good conversation last time. So that there was that. That was in the your advantage column. I do want to keep giving out the number and let you know that you're very welcome to call. You, whether you're Catholic or not, if you have questions about dealing with same-sex attraction, 888-318-7884. You know, Paul, like you say that it's the Holy Spirit that brings you here. And I think that's actually true, because I think the message that you share is just being squashed everywhere. It's just being crushed everywhere. And I do think it's such a message of joy and liberation and freedom and peace. And I do think the Spirit wants to, you know, pull this out from under the rock that our society has put on top of it.
Well, I think I've said this before, that I think of myself as a litmus test because of the subject matter. So many, even good Catholic organizations, Catholic universities, are afraid to deal with this subject. They agree with what we're saying. However, they're afraid. It's like touching a hot wire. So if I get invited to speak, like I have been on Catholic Answers, that means that the person or the people requesting me to speak are totally in line with the true teachings of the Catholic Church, and they're not afraid to say that.
Because I suppose, because in part, because some of what's being sold is irrational, that and doesn't stand up to scrutiny, that the way to that you have to maintain it with strong emotion. There has to be strong emotion there, calling people bigots or whatever, or just excluding people because they have experiences that don't fit in the boxes that people want shared.
That's very true. And and for people like me who have lived the gay lifestyle for years and really embraced it, supported it, became a gay activist, and then suddenly to switch flips, and suddenly I stand for everything everything that I was not embracing before. And so I think I'm a double threat because the public knows, or it isn't really the public, it's the many people know that whatever they say that isn't true, I can give examples of why it isn't true. And the average person would not even be aware of the facts as they really are, because the average person only hears the facts coming from those who want to say love is love, and it doesn't matter how we love or whom we love. What matters is that we're happy. And I realized that I was happy, but as I say all the time, but I never knew joy until I came back to my faith, back to the Catholic Church.
Why does it matter then, if I may ask you that, Paul? Because I really think this is the primary obstacle. You don't shy away from saying the very slogans that you're challenging. But okay, so you've said the slogan, love is love, and why should it matter who I love or how I love? So tell me, why does it matter?
Well, from my perspective, which falls perfectly into the Catholic teaching on human sexuality, on homosexuality, it's because, well, first of all, it's because that I know from my experiences that it was not really who we were. We did not have the fullness. We did not have the fullness of the life that we were created to be. I know so many people who lived like I did, and as the CDC says, that I mean, shows the statistics are out there: suicide, drug addiction, alcoholism, self-harming. The percentages, and for the government to have this information out there, really says a lot, because usually they don't promote such things, but they're not promoting it. They're just saying the facts is much higher among people who identify as gay and who are indulging themselves in that lifestyle. So there are many, many reasons to say the things that I say. And like you said, Cy, well, you know, love is love. What is wrong with that? But once you experience the fullness of life, or give yourself a chance to experience the fullness of life, then they understand why so many people are turning away from the lifestyle that supposedly is the best lifestyle that they can have. And again, they just don't want to hear it. They don't want to give it a chance. But again, we talked about the Holy Spirit earlier. I didn't want to give it a chance. I had mentioned to you before that I fell by accident. I stumbled against my will back to the church.
I love the story of how that happened.
Hearts are touched.
Yeah. Yeah. Mother Angelica played a role in your coming back to the Catholic Church?
As somebody that we all know would say, bigly. She was bigly. Influence on my life. And in that film that you alluded to, Desire of the Everlasting Hills, it actually, she has an appearance in it. But again, as you know, I was making fun of a nun. I was with my lover of over 20 years and called him into the room and just really mocked this nun who happened to be in what I said was an old-fashioned nun's outfit, because I had forgotten the word habit. But she was in a traditional habit. She had had a stroke. And so I was making fun of a stroke victim. And she said something as I was about to change the channel that was so moving and so profound that it literally jolted me. And so I switched the channel anyway, but then she started popping up again, and I called my lover in the second time, and we laughed at her again. And again, she said something, and I'd never seen this woman before in my life, even though I channel surfed all the time. And suddenly, it was like she was popping up like magic and drawing me in. And before you know it, I ran back to the Catholic Church and fell in love with her.
Isn't it a wonderful story? It's just a wonderful story because God uses the instruments He chooses to use with us. But the one thing that is consistent in all of us is He wants all of us with Him. He's like the father in the story of the prodigal son. He doesn't want anybody missing out on the joy of His company. If you have questions about dealing with same-sex attraction in your own, your family's, maybe you're in a position where you have friends, relatives that you'd like some help, or maybe it's in how to speak with your own kids about these things, because I think in many ways parents are divided from their children now on these topics. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. We do have to take a quick break. Paul Darrow is our guest. Right back with more of that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Check out EWTN's official YouTube channel.
Just follow the link on our homepage at EWTN.com or go to YouTube.com/EWTN.
Watch EWTN's live shows or today's homily from the Daily Mass.
Click the upload button to see our most recent clips.
You can also find all of EWTN YouTube content by clicking the playlist button.
It's all on the official EWTN YouTube channel at YouTube.com/EWTN.
Visit today.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Paul Darrow. You can see him in the film Desire of the Everlasting Hills, which you can see at everlastinghills.org. Is that right? Everlastinghills.org? I get it right? Yeah. And on a Friday, you never know how the phone lines are going to do, but the phone lines have lit up. There's lots of folks who would like to talk with you, Paul. More you'd like to talk about before we go to the phones, or shall we go to the phones?
Let's go to the phones.
Off we go. We'll see how we're playing in Peoria. David is in Peoria, Illinois, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. David, thank you for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Paul Darrow.
Thank you for having me.
Happy to.
I have someone who's very dear to me who is not Catholic, but they've had a strong faith. Recently, they've kind of been going through a crisis in faith and scandalized by some people, and this has caused them to go back and reexamine all the teachings they have been taught from Christianity. And they're deconstructing the faith, basically. And this has led them primarily, you know, I was wondering what they were looking into, but primarily the main thing they're looking into is trying to reason that homosexuality is allowed by God and that it's a good thing. And I've tried to discuss it with them fruitfully in many different ways, and I'm struggling to find a fruitful way to do so. I've tried to meet them within, you know, ancient Greek. I've tried to meet them with philosophy and natural reasoning and all these different things. And the main thing it just seems to boil down to is that their heart is very much hurt by seeing how people have treated sinners, I guess. And I'm like, yeah, it's always wrong to treat sinners horribly, but that doesn't mean that it's still not wrong.
David, are you a bit at your wit's end about what to say now? Is that what you'd like from Paul? Some ideas about how to...
Yeah, if there's any way to fruitfully discuss these things, because I've been trying to, as lovingly and gently as I possibly can, and prayerfully, ask them just questions. And when I ask them questions and I say, okay, well, I'm not sure how you deal with this because there seems to be a contradiction there, then they get very upset. And I go, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to understand your viewpoint.
Okay, let's hear what Paul has to say.
Well, they were correct that he started out by saying something about that God, maybe it was something like God created homosexuals or God allowed homosexuals, and I think something about God, that homosexuality is good, and that your friend has gotten this information from the Bible. He is correct about the fact that homosexuality, I don't want to say God created it, but homosexuality in itself is not a sin. I have same-sex attraction, much less. I mean, I live a totally different lifestyle. I'm not tempted by lust, and I look at men differently, and I have a different relationship with men, all men. But it doesn't mean that that the lifestyle that I used to live was great, that there was something good about homosexuality. I'm not quite sure. People have a lot of reasons for saying homosexuality is good. Not too long ago, and they're probably still saying it is, because, well, there'll be less, the population will be not become a problem. And now, of course, through in vitro, that's not helping, but we don't have a population problem. We have a problem with reproduction. And, you know, lust was when you live that lifestyle, it is easy to fall into a very self-indulgent lifestyle that is isolated from procreative and unitive relationships. And so there are a lot of reasons to show that homosexuality is not exactly what the Lord ever spoke about. And at the same time, we still can love these people, we can pray for them. Right now, the majority of people with same-sex attraction in the Western world do not believe, they not only do not believe, they totally reject Catholic teaching on homosexuality. And so what do we do with that? Well, you've already been doing it, David. The only thing we really can do, well, there's several things we can do. One of them is to get to know the person, and you have done that. Another one is to listen, and you've done that. And another one is to love. And I'm not talking about a manipulative kind of love. I'm talking about an authentic Christian love, which does not make a person feel guilty, but can comfort a person and can provide truth. And it seems like you're doing all of these things, David. And I know somebody who very often, and I bet your friend might have also brought this up with you, oh, why can't we have a Jonathan and David type of relationship? It's biblical. And so many people with same-sex attraction who are against the Catholic Church and against the Bible will bring that up and say, well, it was totally normal. But what they don't talk about is that Jonathan so wanted to save David because he loved God so much, and he wanted to do what God felt he was, what God wanted, which was for David to become king. And I may be getting into too much biblical explanation here, but there are explanations, and that's why we have Catholic Answers. And I wonder if your friend has called in a Catholic Answers, but there are answers. And when they get mad and they get upset, that's where there's an issue. Why do you get upset? We're just talking, but they shut us down. So that's why people like me cannot be shut down, because I know the truth, and I'm here with love and patience, understanding, and willing to listen and learn.
David, I'm going to keep moving because, as I said, all the lines are full. Paul Darrow is our guest. We're talking about same-sex attraction from a Catholic perspective today with Paul Darrow. You're welcome to call, whether you're Catholic or not, 888-318-7884. I'm going to go up to Lincoln, Nebraska now. Tom, listening on KVSS Spirit Catholic Radio in Lincoln, Nebraska. Tom, go ahead with your question for Paul Darrow.
Thank you. Well, I just wondered if, I don't think the church has an official position, but I wonder about two same-sex relationships that are publicly known, and they would be living together, publicly known. And then could these people, are they allowed to have positions positions in the church? The specific example I'm thinking of is lecturing, but maybe it could be teaching or these types of things.
Okay.
First of all, again, thank you for calling in. Tom, right?
Yeah, this is Tom, yeah.
Tom, well, you're looking at the answer. One of the ways to accompany men and women with same-sex attraction, people who have same-sex attraction or identify as gay, I encourage when they are thinking of coming back to the church, and they're taking the first steps, one of the things that I suggest to people is to encourage them to get involved with church ministries. And I'm in the situation where I can be open and honest, and all of my friends, all my Catholic friends, once I get to know them a day or two, I tell them about my same-sex attraction. I am an altar server at funerals. I am involved with prison ministry. I've been involved with pro-life ministry, all through with the agreement of the Catholic Church. And I've been a Catholic speaker at Catholic universities, at a Catholic high schools, children down to 16, 15 years old. So the answer is yes. Now there's a difference. And by the way, P.S., I had a relationship with a man for many, many years. He became chaste and I became chaste, and we owned a home together. We built a business together. We built houses together. And the Catholic Church, the authorities of the Catholic Church said, if you have no sexual desire for each other, you can still live together as brothers in Christ. And we do that. So like I said, you're looking at the answer, Tom. Or listening to the answer. I mean, or listening to the man who is the answer.
Okay, Tom.
No, I don't think so. We're talking about opposing situations. This couple would not be espousing the church's teaching. They would be living together. It's seemingly unchaste relationship because of a newspaper article.
Okay. Well, I know many people who are in a relationship with another man, but they love Catholicism and they go to the Catholic Church, and I encourage them to do that. Just like there are people who do not have same-sex attraction at all and never did and never will, who are sinners and doing things that aren't great. And people know about it, but they still go into the church. So to get involved with specific ministries, I know people who do many of the same things I do, and they have a lover. But it depends on the church. It depends on the situation. And so each situation is different, and that would be that would depend on how that is in the eyes of the church.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you very much. Is it your impression, Paul, that there's with the person who maybe has lived in the gay life for a long time approaches the church, that there's a standoffishness on the part of the church, or that there's the danger of not welcoming the person back?
Well, I think a lot has to do with the conduct of the person. Yes.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not just openly giving scandal.
Exactly. In the church.
Right.
and all the rest. And the idea is that those who are Catholics strive to grow closer to God, and through the church can do that.
Yeah, and I'm so happy to hear you say it, because it's true for all of us. I mean, there's many, many people who think my particular proclivity or addiction or sexual habit or whatever it is uncurable, or is not. It's so awful that I can't even approach the church. It's never true. Christ is a healer. He brings people to chastity and continence and forgiveness, and whether the problem is addiction or some other problem. Our guest is Paul Darrow. Your calls are welcome, 888-318-7884. What if the voice of your deepest doubts about Catholicism rose up in the form of a human being and challenged you to defend your most foundational beliefs? That's the task apologist Trent Horn took upon himself in his new book, Devil's Advocate, a dialogue with his own best objections against the faith that he professes and defends. You can stand up against your doubts, and Trent will show you how. Pick up your copy of Devil's Advocate today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
As a child, the great theologian Thomas Aquinas asked, "What is God?" Best-selling author Kevin Vost's new book follows the mature thought of Aquinas in answering that question. In clear and approachable fashion, What is God examines God's attributes and considers questions about him that have vexed mankind for centuries. Order your copy of What is God today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Matt Swaim here. Monday on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll take a look at this week in Catholic history with Kevin Schmiesing, plus news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Paul Darrow is our guest. And if you have not seen the film Desire of the Everlasting Hills, which is a film about love and redemption and liberation and community, and with three wonderful people dealing and coming to the Catholic Church as part of their confronting their own same-sex attraction, you can find it at everlastinghills.org. I'm going to go right back to the phone, but Carrie will be mad at me if I don't read this ad, because the San Diego State Aztecs are in the Sweet 16. Kerry loves them, so he created a sale for them. And I checked with him today, and he said, that's exactly why I created this sale. 16 of our newest and very best titles, just $10 each. You'll never see such prices again. Go to shop.catholic.com, just $10 for some of our best books. 16 of our best books in celebration of the Sweet 16 at shop.catholic.com. Paul, thank you again for being with us. One of the things you said at the beginning, it's interesting to me that even within the Catholic Church, like you, the message that you give is very Catholic, but people, there's sometimes a fear of you coming to talk about same-sex attraction, to talk about your experience, because even within the church, I suppose, you know what? I don't even have to suppose. Even within families within the church, this is a divisive, difficult issue.
Very much so, Cy. And, Yes, within the church itself, within the administration. And, you know, Catholics are human, and even Catholic priests are human, very human. And many of them have their own opinions, and many, many religious have their own opinions. And sort of like some of your callers, not the caller themselves, but a friend of a caller, it's like they cannot be convinced otherwise, and they go to all love is good love and love is love. So unfortunately, from here to Italy, many dioceses are uncomfortable with this subject, especially with somebody like me.
Let's go up to Canada now. Our friend Sean in Port Perry, Canada, listening on the Alexa. Sean, glad to hear from you again.
Turned down, Si.
Oh, you got the Alexa turned down.
I can't hear you.
No, oh, I tried. Sean.
Hello, Si. Hello,
hi.
Paul. I am going to be controversial, but not deliberately disrespectful. Paul was talking earlier about the higher suicide rate amongst people who are gay, and I think that can, at least in part, be attributed to the kind of bigotry and prejudice that still exists against gay people and largely in the Christian church. For heterosexual people, there's marriage. For gay people, the Catholic Church expects each and every gay person to be celibate, to have the vocation of celibacy, which is simply disingenuous. God said it is not good for the man to be alone, and St. Paul said it is better to marry than to burn with lust. We should recognize the validity of loving, monogamous relationships between gay people, and to the extent that the Catholic Church is unwilling to do that, it is not being compassionate, and it is not being loving, and it is not being Christian. That is my opinion, and I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that would like to call and say that, but they're afraid they might be hung up on.
Well, I do appreciate that. I think you are exactly right. You did say that very respectfully. Paul, how do you respond to that?
Well, just like Jonathan and David in the Bible, I've heard this many times, and I've used it myself when I was living the gay lifestyle for over 30 years. So I've been there. My own roommate committed suicide when I was living in New York City. His lover committed suicide, and a lot of other people committed suicide. My roommate was never discriminated against. He was very popular. It was years ago, decades ago. But I tell people I have never felt discriminated against ever until I came back and reverted back to my Catholicism. So yes, there are awful people. I mean, when I was a kid and I was skinny and not athletic, people would throw the word queer around. There were other students, and we were like in the fourth grade, third grade. They didn't know what queer meant. I had never heard the word queer except to mean somebody that was odd. And so, yes, there is discrimination, but today, the type of, and yes, there are people who commit murder. They commit murder because somebody said something or looked at them the wrong way. But the statistics, when I was living there in New York City, in San Francisco, in Palm Springs, traveling across the country, in Australia, there was no discrimination. So, and as far as celibacy, well, we're all called to chastity. And when God, you're quoting St. Paul or whatever, we're not meant to be alone. I have more real friends now than I've ever had. I am so uplifted. And so by the way, my roommate did not commit suicide because of being discriminated against. His lover did not commit suicide because of being discriminated against. They became alcoholics. their life was empty. They separately committed suicide. And like I said, I know other people, models who committed suicide, because the lifestyle, it's an endless search for the perfect love, the perfect chance for romance. And we're not alone. Sex and love are not the same thing. Lust and love are not the same thing. So if two men want to live together and be friends and be in a community, you know, I was in a community when I was living the gay lifestyle. I was in the LGBT community. I never used those letters back then. We just call it the gay, you know, gay friends. I was never alone. That I couldn't go out and be in a bar with friends and whatever. I was in a community. But that community really didn't care about me. I had no real friends. I mean, friends that lasted. And they wouldn't even talk to me once they found out I was Catholic. So what kind of community is that? But within the Catholic Church, the community, I do prison ministry. I do prison ministry. And I want to just mention one little thing. The first time I went to prison ministry, all of these men, 100% of them were married. The reason I know it is because we're in a huge circle the first day before we go into the prisons, before we go into the penitentiaries. And each one of us gets up, says their name, whether they're married, whatever, why they want to join in the prison ministry. Well, when I first did that, luckily the circle was big and I was on the second side of the circle and it was time for lunch. And during lunch, I ran to the chaplain. There were three chaplains, and they didn't know me from Adam. And I told them my story in 2 minutes. And they said, Paul, there are people in this room that think they've never seen a homosexual. However, don't say anything today, but once they get to know you, they will love you. And so it'll be a-okay. And you know what? That was about 7 years ago. And my best friends, some of my best friends are these men who never once discriminated against me. And they've seen the movie, a whole bunch of them have seen the movie. And they're always looking for me. So this discrimination perception is blown out of, I mean, truth is, falsehood is blown out of perception here. And perception is not what it seems to be. It's only perception that you're talking about. There'll be individual instances where somebody is killed and murdered and raped, but that happens just as much on the other side of the fence. So, by the way, thank you very much for the way you present it yourself and not being able to be afraid to present yourself. And you said something at the very end that other people were afraid to be hung up on, but you know what? People aren't afraid to get around, to somehow get in and be able to speak the way you spoke, but they don't do it with respect. And so thank you very much for doing it that way. I appreciate it, Sean.
Sean, thank you very, very much for that opportunity. I got to take the break. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with more with Paul Darrow. We're talking about same-sex attraction from a Catholic perspective. Your call's welcome. Right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
EWTN uses the power of radio to reach people whenever and wherever they're searching for answers to questions about their Catholic faith. EWTN Radio is heard on over 500 domestic and international AM and FM radio affiliates. For a complete list of programs and how to hear EWTN Radio, visit EWTN.com and click radio. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Paul Darrow, our guest. Lots of folks on the line, so I'm going to try to get to everybody this time. So if it seems like I'm going quickly, you'll have to excuse me, but I don't want to leave people waiting. Let's go to Matthew in Boston, Massachusetts, watching on YouTube. Matthew, glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Paul Darrow.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on. And great response to that last question, Paul. The question that I have is, so there are some Catholic ministries that sort of support the homosexual lifestyle and almost encourage it. And I know that every now and then they'll sort of go and like to different parishes around the country and give like missions or talks. I guess my question is what your advice would be to any like parishioners who have that coming to their parishes. Like what should we be trying to do? Should we be trying to like stop something like that? Or I guess it's kind of an open question, or what to do in those situations where you're, you know, confronted in your parish with a pro-homosexual lifestyle, like, event.
Kind of pride stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Paul?
I don't know if you've ever heard of courage. I think Cy might have mentioned it at the beginning of the show. And it's really to accompany men and women who have same-sex attraction, who have a desire to have a stronger relationship with God and to move beyond their homosexual identity. So you have people like that, and then you have the group that really gets upset at a ministry like a true Catholic apostolate like Courage because of their message. When I was coming back to the Catholic Church, I was really surprised how many men and women had shared the same journey, or how our journeys were so similar, those who wanted to come back to the Catholic Church. And it was as if we had traveled down the same road to chastity. And there's almost like a formula for that sort of a situation. But on the other hand, what you're addressing, when I first started to come back to the Catholic Church, I did not know about Courage. And I heard about this LGBT potluck, Catholic potluck in my diocese when I was living in Southern California. And so I thought, well, that'll be interesting. And there were several tables, maybe 8 or 9 tables. And it was a potluck, so they brought food. And I was sort of walking around listening, and I sat at some of those tables, and 100% of those people who identified as gay and Catholics, 100% of them were saying things like, we got to change the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has to accept gay marriage. The Catholic Church is so wrong. And this was the organization that was actually promoted by the bishop. I won't say which diocese, but so it's very difficult because it's almost like you have two weather fronts coming together. And so we shouldn't be confronting them, definitely not in public, but we should be perhaps a good solution would be to speak to the people who in administration at the diocese, or even if you're fortunate enough to speak to the bishop and express your concerns. That's what I do. And again, like I said, priests and religious are not perfect, and they have their own personal reasons sometimes that have nothing to do with the Catholic Church, but their own personal desires. Many of them want to see change as well. So again, don't confront them, listen to them, try to get to know them, and then see if you can take it from there. But so many people were like me who were on that side of the fence. And I went to something called Dignity, which started out being called Catholic until Rome found out that they weren't Catholic. And it was actually mass for people with same-sex attraction, some sort of ersatz mass. And again, everybody there was sort of mocking people like me, mocking the Catholic Church, mocking the truth, mocking the Bible, mocking church teaching. So it's sort of like juggling a little bit. Each situation, again, I would think you're best to deal with a person on a one-on-one and not to confront the situation, not to confront two fellows who are kissing and or two women who are kissing during communion, but to go then to the priest or to the bishop and have a conversation with them.
You know, as you're speaking, Paul, it occurs to me that in the time, you know, I was born during the Second Vatican Council, and the time that I've been Catholic, this has not just been on involving the gay community or any particular, on virtually any moral issue, there's a parish that's on a different side of it. There's a priest that's on a different side of it. So, you know, it's interesting to hear about you coming back to the Catholic Church and kind of having to find courage, which is solidly Catholic and very welcoming, but not a dismissive or mocking of Catholic beliefs, because there's always this, I mean, that's just it's the nature of modern Catholic life that you want a moral opinion? Well, you can find a bishop with that moral opinion. You want a different organization? You can find a parish with that organization.
Exactly, exactly.
Matthew, thank you so much. I'm going to keep going. Let's see if we can get Robert in Louisiana on. Well, there's several folks on. I'll try to get to everybody, so hang on if you're waiting. Listening on Catholic Community Radio down there in Louisiana. Robert, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Paul.
Hey, yes. Thank you so much. I was wondering if Paul had any advice on a father's position with a same-sex adult child and trying to show him that he's loved without losing integrity, I guess, of the domestic church at home, you know, and protecting the sanctity of the domestic church at home while still trying to welcome that son who now feels very rejected by us and the church.
Well, thank you very much for the question. As you can imagine, I get many parents who ask similar questions. And I'm sorry to hear that your son feels rejected by the church. I wonder if he feels rejected just because of the teaching or if he actually has gone into the church to Mass or whatever and felt that people were rejecting him. Normally, we don't know what the sexual habits are of the people who sit next to us in church. And some people who are married, I'm sure, you know, our back teeth would fall out if we knew some of the things that they're doing. So I'm sorry to hear that he's getting that sort of rejection. As far as from the parents' point of view, your point of view, it sounds like you really have a lot of insight. It really is in prison ministry. I compare prison ministry not because that they are the same, but it's where the Holy Spirit really is at work and where society is challenged. And in prison ministry, our motto is listen, listen, love, love. Listen, listen, love, love. You can't go wrong by doing that. And by listening to your son, you already probably know, but you'll get a good idea of what he thinks about himself, what he thinks about same-sex attraction, what he thinks about the church, and what he thinks about God. And how he feels about these things will give you much insight about which direction or how you can handle the situation. Now, he also knows you, I'm sure, because of the wonderful type of family you seem to be part of. He knows what your belief is. And so, again, you've heard people say this before, but it bears repeating. I would have a conversation with him and just tell him how much you love him, that he could do anything. As I told my sons, they could do anything. They could commit a terrible, terrible crime. Actually, I told them they could even commit murder, and my love for them would not change. But I would never affirm what they did as being good. And so once a child hears that, they can understand where you're coming from, and then you can go on and say, and you know, I respect you so much, son. I'm sure you have a good son. I respect you. I respect everything about you. And so if you want to come into my home and you have a friend, somebody that you're seeing, I'd be okay with that, provided that they were respectful and that they understood that we're Catholics and they were kind to the rest of the family and very loving. But in the same way, I ask you to respect your mother or your brothers, your sisters, your uncles and aunts because of our beliefs. And then we'll just move on. Accompanying people with same-sex attraction is not changing their sexual orientation, but it's not about affirming their gay lifestyle either. It is about touching their hearts and pointing them towards the Lord so that they can grow in their relationship with God.
Yeah, that helps a lot. I appreciate that. Yeah, bless you.
And thank you. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Robert. This might be a good time, and I will get to another call, but courage and encourage. Could you just say what those two things are? Because encourage is for folks who have family members who have same-sex attraction.
Correct. courage is for people like me, who there was no place I could turn. I couldn't go. My family wasn't even worth speaking to them about it because they had no interest. And my friends, they all rejected me. So there was so Courage is an organization for men and women who want to move beyond their homosexual identity to a more complete one in Christ so that they can have a grow in their relationship with God. And Encourage, which is also, you can contact Encourage, which, as Cy was saying, is for moms and dads and relatives and friends of people who have same-sex attraction, and especially for those who have children and friends who are rejecting their parents, rejecting their family, not even wanting to speak to their family because they feel their family is too Catholic and doesn't believe what they believe. So these families, these parents are hurting, and it's so wonderful to, again, have a community of other parents who are going through the same thing and support each other, encourage each other, and get ideas from each other as to how to move on and show love to the family.
Robert, thank you very much for that call. Jordan in Detroit, if you can be quick, we can get you an answer. I'm sorry to do that to you. I know it's not a topic that lends itself to quick, but as quick as you can be would be helpful.
Sure, no problem. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this conversation. I think it really gets at the heart of my question, which is really like speaking as someone who went away from the church for a really long time and came back in, something that really hindered my ability to accept the fullness of the teachings of the church was the real lack of tenderness that I felt on behalf of the institutional church, whether that be our bishops or even our priests, and perhaps Rome as well, although I think Pope Francis, though his words be taken out of context, has been more tender about this issue. What words might you have, Paul, for those who, you know, are struggling and do want to come back into the church, such as how I was several years ago, but for whom just the delivery on the teachings is not great?
Okay.
That's my question.
Paul?
Oh, well, I would, again, I would say each case is individual. So there are priests who are at the altar and they're jovial and smiling and whatever, but afterwards they're grumpy. And but that should never be a reason to turn against the church or not want to be Catholic. I know a lot of people are hurting and they want more tenderness. But again, God's tenderness is infinite. God's love is infinite. And the church, the true church's love is infinite. So I would just say, you know what, walk down the street in New York City and see how much tenderness you don't get. So this is the human side of it, but the spiritual and moral side, we have to be strong because, again, if we're going to depend on somebody else's feelings towards us, we're doing the wrong thing. We have a direct relationship with God.
Jordan, God bless you. Thank you so much for being quick. Sorry for those I didn't get to. Paul Darrow, it's just great to have you here. Thank you very, very much for a very fine hour.
My pleasure. Thank you very, very much.
Hey, coming up.
You do, Cy.
Thanks. Jimmy Akin next. Ask him whatever you want. 888-31-TRUTH. Right back after this.